Is that on? Green light? Hello? All right. Well, we passed step one. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. I know everyone says it, but it really is. This is my home church. Amen. And good to see some familiar faces. Good to be surprised by some faces that were this little when I left teaching Sunday school, amen, and now they're grown and have families. Makes me feel so young. Amen. All right, I appreciate your prayers on everything, and I've been looking forward to this for some time, so I hope you get a blessing, hope to be a blessing, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number, let's see here. Oh, they're all good anyway. Okay. Now look, somebody said this to me, all right? They said, hope the church is friendly and everything. And I said, hey, there's a difference between Texas friendly and Minnesota friendly. Minnesota friendly is, I'll look at you, that's good. Texas friendly is they just walk up to you in the grocery store and start talking to you like they've known you their whole life, right? So you guys got to warm up a little bit to me here. I've been in Texas too long. Amen. All right, I got to do, all right, I have the cure. I have it. It's right here. We'll get this out in a second. All right. We still here? Right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou wilt keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you tonight from verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. And the message here tonight is on being a soldier for Christ. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your many blessings, and thank you for saving us. Thank you for allowing us to have this meeting here and all the obstacles and other distractions and things going on. And yet, Lord, here we are, and we're thankful for it. I just pray, God, you'd forgive me of my sin, that you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to say all that needs to be said, and Lord, it... these folks here tonight would go away knowing that they've heard from heaven. Just get me out of the way, Lord, and speak to them through the Word of God, and we'll give you glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I have a cure. Are you ready? There we go. All right. Now, if you tighten up on me, this is coming back out. All right. All right. All right. I had to do that. All right, a soldier for Christ. Amen. It's been good. Let me just give you a little summary of what's been, where things have gone. Lord showed me the truth about the King James Bible way back in 1990. That seems like forever ago. And I spent a year and a half here with Kyle Stevens before God called me down to Bible school. And I went there, and then it's a long story, but we've been in Amarillo now since 2008, so that's 11 years. Ups and downs, good and bad, and you know we're still here, and we're still fighting, and the Lord, all I can say is God's taking care of us, amen? You know, and the church is still going, and hasn't been easy. I look out at our congregation, and I can look at every single one of them and say every single one of these people has been through something brutal. And very difficult and traumatic, the type of thing that would knock a lot of people out of the race. And I look at them with amazement and wonder and say, they're still here. And they keep coming, and they just won't quit coming, amen? that's something to be thankful for, you know, because many of you have been in a Christian life long enough, you look around, there's people that aren't coming that should be coming, amen? And so I'm very, very thankful. We don't have a very large church. I tell you, I got a blessing out of the singing tonight. I agree with the pastor here. You know, singing, it really helps. It helps. And whenever we have revival services, we have lots of extra singing. It's just good for God's people to sing. And the big blessing I got is I didn't have to do the song leading tonight. Amen. So, anyway, it's a blessing. It was great singing, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate the fact that God's allowed me to come up here. So I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, a soldier for Christ. Now, I was never in the military. Anybody here ever been in the military? One, two, that's it? Three, that's it? All right. Well, good. Then I'll sound like I know what I'm talking about. All right. I was never in the military. My dad was not graduated. My dad was drafted during the Vietnam era. Thankfully, never went over. When I was younger, I'm not admitting being old, I'm just saying when I was younger, I had a lot of people ask me if I was in the military. I never was. My dad seems to think I should have gone. Maybe I should have. I don't know. But there's a few things. I've read several books on military history and on warfare and that kind of thing. And the Christian life has many seeming contradictions and paradoxes. For instance, in some places we're called sheep, but in other places we're called soldiers. Those two are diametrically opposed to each other. Sheep are not fighting animals, amen. They're very defenseless animals, but we're also to fight the good fight of faith. We're to follow the Savior, but we're supposed to lead our families. Amen. There's some apparent contradictions when it comes to the Christian life, I just tell you that we, as Bible-believing Christians here in the year 2019, you're going to have some backbone. Amen. You're going to have a pretty tough hide. You're going to have a thick hide. Brother Mark, you're back there. I just saw you. Amen. Good to see you, my brother. Amen. You're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to overcome some things. So I want to try to help you tonight with being a soldier for Christ. This is 2019. We're long, long past the glorious heyday of independent Baptist fundamentalism, if you want to dare use that term. Amen. Way back in the 50s and the 60s and 70s. We're way past that now. Independent Baptist churches are just falling apart left and right, and the ones who are still standing, they've had to go through some pretty tough battles, amen. I know if you're going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to be a soldier. So let me give you a few things here about being a soldier, all right? Number one, a soldier has a sword. A soldier has a sword. Amen. Now, it goes without saying that if you're going to fight in a war, you need a weapon. Amen. And sometimes in desperation, soldiers will resort to hand-to-hand fighting, but that's the last resort. That's after you've wasted all of your ammunition and maybe even broken your rifle over somebody's head. Amen. You're reduced to hand-to-hand fighting, but you prefer to use the weapon, wouldn't you? I mean, if you had a choice, wouldn't you rather shoot the guy 100 yards off than rather have to deal with them hand-to-hand with your fists? Amen? A soldier has a sword. Brother, I'm sorry. I'm used to mine. And this is... Okay. I have to remember not to press too hard on this. All right. I built my pulpit, and it's nice and sturdy. Amen. No offense to whoever built this one. No offense. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. What was I talking about? The sword. The sword. It's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. You got to have a sword. You know, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of churches that don't have a sword. And some of them have it, but they don't know how to use it. Amen. The Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, this is war. We are in a war. You go to the average church today, you'd think you're at a circus. Amen? Right? Amen? I mean, seriously. You, you go to the average church and it's all games and, you know, smoke and lights and rock band and it's all, you know, 101 ways to sin and feel good about it. That's what your average message is. Your average message at the local mega churches is just, you know, Joel Osteen, you know, your best life now. Hey, that's not in the Bible. Amen. Your best life is in heaven. That's where we're headed. You get it on the airplane. They always, you know, I ask them this question. I said they ask you welcome aboard, and I say, is this the right airplane? Is this the right plane? Well, where are you heading? Well, I'm heading to heaven. Is this plane going to take me there? Yeah, it's just an opening. Amen. Today I vary. Today the stewardess greets me, and I looked at her and said, is this going to get us there in one piece? The guy in front of me turns and goes, you know, most people just say good morning. The average megachurch is just, it's just all fluff. We're in a war. You need a weapon. Your weapon is the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10 says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Now look, I'm not saying go down to the local abortion clinic and, you know, we're not saying that. This is a spiritual battle, amen? It's spiritual warfare. We fight our battle on our knees. We fight our battle with the Scripture, amen? God will take care of those evil abortion doctors. God will take care of all those other purveyors of sin and wickedness. God is the final judge. There's a lake of fire waiting for them. My point is this, is that you're in a battle, and you're going to have to fight the war, and the only way you're going to win is if you've got a sword, and you're going to have to use it. Too many preachers get off on hobby horses. And that's all they talk about, is their hobby horse. We got a book. I mean, I don't know how, I know Kyle's been preaching since 1987. I don't know how many books of the Bible he's gone through, but I don't know that I'll ever get through all of them. I mean, there's just a lot of material in there, and there's a lot of material in there I don't understand. Amen? But there's plenty I do. And too many preachers today, they just get caught up, and churches get caught up and all the latest fads. Sin is still sin. Sin hasn't changed. We have to fight it. We have a book to fight it with. Amen? We still have to preach against sin. There was a day when preachers preached against alcohol. Did you know that? You know, now it's like, well, it's okay for you to drink. Just don't get drunk. Well, that's in the other... No, independent Baptist churches. Let me back up. I'm thankful for my family. Amen. It's good. I see Brother Jeff over here, and well, I remember him when I was here a long time back. And it's good to see his son here active in the church. That's a blessing. Amen. And it reminds me of my parents. I was raised in a good Christian home. Thankful for that. Both of my grandparents, independent Baptist preachers. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'm just thankful for it. My grandfather... on my mother's side, pastored Normandale Baptist Church down there in Bloomington, not too far from where I grew up. And he was pastoring that church when I was born. I mean, the place is a total mess now, but he was there. You know, that's the old school, that old generation. They're dying off. And now the younger generation coming up, they don't have the same standards. What happened? What happened to it? Drunkenness is still a sin, I think. Amen? And why aren't they preaching against it? I visited a church when we lived in Topeka, Kansas, Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher was saying, it's okay for you to have alcohol. It's okay for you to drink a little. Just don't get drunk. After all, Jesus turned water into wine. Hey, I expect that from the no-good mega churches that don't have any Bible. I don't expect that in any independent Baptist church. What happened? Somebody put their sword up. Say, what'd you do? I interrupted the Sunday school service. Amen. I did. I stood up and I said, that's a lie! It didn't end very well. Did you know there is a there were still some dry zones across the country? In Amarillo, Texas, we had several dry zones in our county, Potter County. Walmart came in because they wanted to build a Sam's Club in the district that was dry. How many of you know what a dry zone is? We got all these young kids. That's where you can't sell alcohol. Walmart wanted to sell alcohol in their stores, and they wanted to build a Sam's Club where they could sell more alcohol. So they went to the front of the Walmart stores, and they got people to sign it to put it on the ballot so they could vote it in. And they did. So I didn't know what was going on. I walk up to Walmart. Here's a table. Here, sign this petition. What's this for? Well, we want to change this. We want to get rid of the dry zone. Why? So we can sell alcohol here. And I said, there's an alcohol store right over there. Why do you need to sell it here? We got into this little discussion, and I said, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm opposed to alcohol at all. What? Oh, no, it's in the Bible. You know, Jesus turned water into wine. Now, folks, I got into this discussion in Bible forums with Baptist preachers about whether or not it's okay to drink. We'll get back to this. Amen. We're having fun tonight. Hey, and so I thought, I've had it. I'm going to prove once and for all. So I spent 2.5 years working a job, spent 2.5 years going through every single verse in the Bible I could find. Wine, drunkenness, strong drink, every single verse. Put it all together, collated it. You know, there's like, wine can be used like 12 different ways. It can mean 12 different things. I can tell you this much. The alcohol is forbidden for the Christian. That's absolutely crystal clear. And the only ones who don't know that are the ones who have put down the sword and started listening to men. So, mind you now, I've spent 2.5 years, I put all this information together, and this idiot says, well, Jesus turned water into wine. So I said, oh, that's interesting. So, how many times is the word wine used in the Bible? Oh, I see. You haven't studied. Oh, so now what is the old... Is there any other verses in the Bible about wine? Oh, I see. So you don't know. You know one passage, but you don't know anything about what the Bible says. Let me tell you something, buddy. The Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're a fool if you think you can play around with alcohol. Maybe somebody has a problem with that. I don't know. The soldier has a sword. We're supposed to take it out and use it. You know what that means? Is when you use a weapon, usually the person on the other end of it might get hurt. Amen? Isn't that kind of the point of having a weapon? Amen? We're in a war. Use the sword. A soldier has a sword. And too many people, too many preachers get off course with their hobby horses. I was in a church. We survived a year in this church, and I'm telling you, 101 messages on pastoral authority. I mean, after the second week, you're like, isn't there anything else in the Bible? Anything? I met a fellow one time, and I was talking to him. I just met him, and we were working. He was training me in a new position, and I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I'm saved. And I said, well, that's great, wonderful. Where do you go to church? And he named the local mega church. I'm like, why do you go there? Well, when I first got saved, I started going to the Baptist church, and all I ever heard was salvation, attendance, and giving. And I said, and he said, and I thought there had to be more in the Bible than that. And so I'm thinking, so you went to the zoo? Okay. That makes sense. Amen. So what are you, I asked him, I said, so what are you learning at this church? I said, you know, not all Baptist churches are that way. Amen. Come visit ours. He never did. All right. Look, you know what I've learned? I've learned this. If preachers would quit trying to fix everybody's problems from the pulpit and just open up the Word of God and just preach what God says, a lot of those problems would disappear anyway. They're just trying to control too many things. Just preach the book. Amen. You got a good pastor here, and I thank God for that. A soldier has a sword. Second thing tonight, a soldier is a student. a soldier. Now, we're talking about the good soldiers. We just had an evangelist in, and he was also drafted during that Vietnam era, and as soon as he was offered out, he got out. He didn't want to be in anymore. But the real soldiers who really stick it out and they know their business, they're students. They study. If you read any military history, you read about the great military generals of days gone by, you know this, they have studied their craft. They understand their weapons, they understand their enemy, they understand warfare in general. They have spent a lifetime studying what it means to be a soldier. And a real soldier, and we are soldiers, it says in our text, fight the good fight of faith, amen? That means you're going to have to spend a little bit of time studying, amen? You can't put it all on the preacher. You got to do some on your own. A soldier studies his weapon. It's one thing to have a sword. It's another thing to know how to use the sword, amen? I tell you what, if you were to put a sword in my hand, now what do I do, amen? I mean, I'm a sure enough city slicker, amen? He used to talk about the men's offensive. I don't know the first thing about guns. Now, my dad grew up in Great Falls, Montana, and he could shoot. I mean, they were taking 22s out. They were shooting stuff off trees, you know, at 100 yards, 200 yards, 300 yards. They could hit deer. That's how my dad grew up. But then when I was born, they lived here in Bloomington. That's where I grew up. So we never went hunting, you know. We went fishing a few times, but that just never really took with me. I'm just a city kid living in a country town. I don't know how that works. So all these guys that want to talk about their guns and their trucks and all of this, you know, we went hunting, we went fishing. I'm going, oh, yeah, all right, that's the most boring thing I could ever think of doing. But yeah. What'd you do over the weekend? I sat in a deer stand. Wow, that sounds so exciting. Yeah. Have I offended anyone yet? Amen. All right. I preached at a nursing home. And at the end of the service, you know, nursing home, you're nice at nursing homes, right? Right? At the end, a lady came and she says, next time you come, I have to remember to wear my steel-toed boots. And I looked at her and I thought, but I was nice, you know? What? I don't know. A soldier studies his weapon. Now, you know as well as I do, if you own a gun, you got to take the thing apart and clean it. And a soldier in the Army or Marines or whatever, they have to regularly take the thing apart, and then they're even timed. Am I right? They're timed. You know, how long does it take you to take it apart, clean it, put it back together, and all that kind of stuff, right? I wouldn't know the first thing about it, but I know they have to know their weapon, right? You have to know your weapon. You have to know it. We had a fellow come to our church some time back, and I was taking him out soul winning, and he didn't like the way I was doing it. Now, this guy hadn't been to church for years, never led a soul to Christ, never done anything for the Lord, but he was going to lecture me on how I was doing it wrong. Sound familiar? And so we're talking. It was raining that day, so I said, well, come on over to the house. We can sit down and talk. And I said, so what's the problem? He says, well, I'm just not even sure about what you believe about hell. I said, what hell? What do you mean you don't believe there's a lake of fire? Oh, no, I don't think so. I said, well, I tell you what, let's open up the Bible. Let's see what God says. I started showing him verses. I had our deacon with me at the same time just to make sure I had a witness to the conversation. And after about 15 minutes, the deacon says, fella, you know what your problem is? Your problem is you want somebody to tell you what to believe, but you don't want to go look for it yourself. Ooh. He looked at the deacon, he said, you know, you're right. But he didn't get right. Amen. You have to do some study on your own. Study to show thyself approved unto God. How many of you here want God's approval? I do. You're going to have to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why people don't study the Bible? Because it takes work. It takes time. I'm not saying God called you to be a scholar. I'm saying that you need to spend time reading and studying on your own. Amen? You need to do that. You want to be a soldier for Christ, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to study your weapon. too many preachers today, and sadly, even in our own circles, they're content to sit on what they learned in Bible college. I would not. You would be surprised at how many preachers, that's all they know is what they learned in Bible college. That's it. That's all they've never gone one step further. Listen, and I even had a very close acquaintance of mine say, well, when I went to Bible college, they just crammed all the stuff down our throat. And I'm like, you chose that school for a reason. You know what they're going to teach. They're trying to prepare you, but that's just the base layer. You got to add to that. You start there and go from there. Too many preachers don't do it. And too many people sitting in the pews don't crack a Bible until they come back to church on Sunday. They could rattle off a million statistics about worthless, trivial things. One of the most aggravating things about going to work is having to listen to football talk. It's football season again. It's like, and I live in Texas, so you know who they're talking about. They're Cowboys. Oh, my. And then, where are you from? Minnesota. Oh, the Vikings. Yeah, I gave up on them a long time ago. So, no, I'm not a Vikings fan. And then they go, well, yeah, 4 Super Bowl losses, that would kind of do it for me, too. So, they know all of this trivia. They don't know what's in the Bible. But they're Christians. And they go to church. They know everything about everything else, but they don't know anything about the book. You're a soldier. You need to study your weapon. And a soldier studies the nature of warfare in general. Hardships, trials, difficulties, terrain, supplies, all those kinds of things. A soldier studies his enemy. A soldier studies his enemy. You need to know your enemy. Now, we all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. Amen? And you know, our enemy, he's kind of tricky. Because sometimes he's like a lion. But sometimes he's like that snake in the grass. Amen? You don't always know what you're dealing with. You got to study him. Who's your enemy? The world. The world's not your friend. The world's not your friend. Passions, they come and go. The music, it comes and goes. All that's just the world. It's going to fade. The fashions of this world fade away. You got to study that thing. You got to understand how the devil is manipulating things to try to get you off track. Doesn't that happen in warfare? Don't they send off diversionary things? Don't they try to get you diverted with something different while they're trying to do something else? The world, the flesh. Oh, we could park on the flesh for a while, amen? You know, when I was young growing up, preachers used to preach from the pulpit. No TVs in the home. Then the video, the VCRs. How many of you remember VCRs? Well, I'm really showing my age. VCRs. That was before Netflix. You know what they called it mockingly? Vicious Christ rejectors, VCRs. And it's funny now, but you know what? Everybody has it now. Everybody has it in the home now. I'm not saying that you're evil if you watch television. I'm just saying that we've come a long way in the wrong direction. It's the flesh, the world, the flesh. It throws all this stuff out there to get you distracted so our enemy can come in and destroy you. We're in a war. You need to study your enemy. A third thing here about a soldier tonight is this. A soldier's willing to suffer. A soldier is willing to suffer. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. This is always... Have you ever gone to the local Christian bookstore? They have those nice little booklets, you know, God's Precious Promises. This should be like number one. Right? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, I find that that's never in that Precious Promises book. I don't know. Sounds like a promise to me. I don't know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The Christian life is not about health, wealth, and prosperity. The Christian life is not about how I can feel comfortable. The Christian life is a life of warfare. We need soldiers who can take the battle and keep going. If you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you are going to suffer. You say, well, that's not making me feel very good. I'm so sorry. I think it was in the Clinton era where they had the yellow cards, you know. Stress. They would go to boot camp, and if they started getting stressed out, they'd hold up a yellow card, and then it was like a timeout. I like to see that happen on a battlefield, you know. Let's send our soldiers over there to fight the Taliban and this. Oh, yellow card. It doesn't work. Amen. But when you join the military, you know you're going to have a hard time. You're going to go off to boot camp. You're going to go through basic training. And then after that is continual training. You still have to keep up with certain things. Am I right? If you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you're going to be put into a battle and you're going to have to suffer. You may have to give up some things. You may have to, you may go through physical pain. You may lose some things. You look through the history of Bible-believing Christians over the last 2,000 years. It's a trail of blood. Americans, and I include myself, we're soft. We're soft. And then you hear people complaining about how they're suffering, and when you compare to what the martyrs went through, we're not suffering. We're not suffering. I remember when I was many years ago, I was working with the youth, and we had a young lady in our youth department, and she played on the public school softball team, and she told us a story. I've never forgotten the story. They were practicing, and the coach hit a ground ball down the third baseline, and the third base girl gets in position to scoop the ball up, and then right before the ball gets to her, she stands straight up, and the coach just goes ballistic. You know, what are you doing? You let the ball go by. And she stands, and she goes, I broke a nail. That's how a lot of Christians are. Amen. I remember working in the bus ministry one time, and I was talking to somebody who didn't come on a Sunday, and I called them up after and said, hey, we really missed you. Sorry you couldn't come. Is there anything wrong? Is there anything I could do to help you? Oh, well, I couldn't come because my dog was sick. And I'm sitting there going, my water got shut off, my plumbing broke, I had to jump through all these hoops just to get to church, and you're telling me you couldn't come because your dog was sick? Put the dog outside. It will live. Most of what we call suffering in America is not suffering. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Somebody said this, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and you make bad decisions. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, did Jesus Christ say that we're to follow him? Amen. Did Jesus Christ say that the servant is never greater than the master? Did Jesus suffer? Why would you think that you wouldn't suffer? Where would you ever get that idea? If he suffered, we're going to suffer. You read through the book of Acts, you see the apostles suffering. Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded. Paul was stoned and left for dead. Paul gives his semi-biography, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. A night and a day in the deep, you know, and all the other stuff that he had to go through. 5 times I was beaten with 40 stripes, save one. Let's see you go through that, amen? I mean, that's suffering. I read about in the colonial area, Obadiah Holmes taken out and beaten in the square in Boston, because he was meeting in a home with a couple other men because they refused to go to the state church. And they arrested them and they took them in. And who was the other guy that was there? I can't remember. John Clark. John Clark, somebody paid John Clark's fine, and so he didn't get beaten. And somebody tried to pay Obadiah Holmes's fine, and he said, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I was worshiping the Savior. And if that's a crime, then beat me. And they did. He's flat on his stomach for 6 weeks. I mean, we don't understand what it means to be strung up like this and have a whip applied to our back. We have no idea what that means. How come you didn't come to church? I had a hangnail. It really hurt. That's how a lot of Christians act. Well, I couldn't go to church Sunday because, you know, I had to mow the lawn. Hey, you got 6 days to mow the lawn, you know what I mean? Come on. That's how people think in America. It's so hard. My riding lawnmower broke and I had to get the push mower out. That's suffering, my friend. I feel so bad for you. Jesus suffered. Stephen was stoned. James was beheaded. Paul was stoned. Martyrs giving their lives for Christ. It's all we can do to get to church. Amen? Thankfully, we have not yet faced political persecution in this country. But anything can happen. The younger generation, you young people here, saw a nice group of young people up here singing. You're going to do something for the Lord, it ain't going to be easy. And the devil's going to fight you every step of the way. You just have to determine that you're going to do it anyway. You get knocked down, get up and keep fighting. That's what a soldier does. Soldier fights to the death. He doesn't let the enemy win. And if that means that he dies in the process, then so be it. I don't know if I like that kind of Christianity. That is biblical Christianity. A soldier is willing to make sacrifices. A soldier is willing to suffer, but he's willing to make sacrifices. Luke chapter 14, verse number 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I wonder how many young men and young ladies have been sidetracked from serving the Lord Jesus Christ because mommy and daddy had too strong of a grip on them and wouldn't let them. Or how many young men didn't answer the call to preach because they knew they would have to go against mommy and daddy and they just couldn't live with that. It's a shame. Now, I don't necessarily fault them. I can certainly understand the emotional attachment, but listen, Christ died for our sins. He bore God's wrath in our place. The least we can do is make some sacrifices on this earth. And I can guarantee you, anything you sacrifice to the Lord's service, the Lord Jesus Christ is good enough that He'll pay you back. Amen? Maybe not here. Our reward is in heaven. Amen? For all of eternity, we get to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to see all of those angelic beings. We get to see all the glories of heaven. We get to see the Lord on His throne. In all of His glory, we get that for all of eternity. That's payment enough. We can make a few sacrifices. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. How many young men, how many young ladies have not answered the call because they had their own plans? Well, I would rather do this. Well, you're missing out. You're the one who's missing out. The Lord's going to find somebody else to do your job. Or maybe not. I mean, at this late stage in the game, maybe there are no more replacements. I don't know. Maybe your job just doesn't get done. Doesn't matter to the Lord. He's going to have His will and His way no matter what you do. You can choose to be a part of it. Amen? and you can choose to get the rewards that go along with it. Or you can just go off and do your own thing. Amen? A soldier makes sacrifices. And sometimes that means saying goodbye to people that we love. Hey, Christ left the glories of heaven to come here for us. Amen? He made sacrifices too. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created the entire universe, the snap of a finger, with a spoken word, amen? He left all of that and came to this earth to be a man. And he got hungry. And he got tired. I mean, amen? You ever heard that one? I couldn't make it to church because I'm tired. Well, I'm tired too, amen? I mean, Kyle would probably make... Kyle's more spiritual than I am, so he'll probably deny this. But there's many times on Sunday when I wake up Sunday morning and I think, I really do not want to go to church today. See, but you're the preacher. Yes. And I have to come preach to you. I got to go stand there and listen. Don't listen to me anymore. I'm just saying, I don't always like doing things either. A soldier does what he's supposed to do. Amen? An order's an order. I had many people, we went through some pretty traumatic events several years back, and I had several people say, you know, you just need to leave there and go somewhere else and just take a break and get some rest. And I'm like, I can't. Well, why not? Because God didn't tell me to. The last order was to go to Amarillo, Texas. I haven't heard any new orders, so we're staying. Well, yeah, but trust me, don't think the thought didn't cross my mind. Lord, are you sure you want me here? Lord, if you're a soldier in the army, you understand the last order is the last order. You go by the last orders that you received. Amen? The last order I received was to pastor Liberty Baptist Church in Amarillo, Texas. That hasn't changed so far as I know. So we stay. Well, yeah, but it's kind of, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I like, doesn't matter what I want, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. What matters is God said to do it, so we do it. But it would be better, you don't know what would be better. He knows what's best. I read a book here not too long ago, it's called The Longest Winter, I think, something like that. A group of 12 soldiers, it was in the winter. This is leading up to the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. How many of you read this book? No? Okay. They were watching a road, and their job was to watch, and if they saw any movement from the enemy, to report it. Well, they're out there one morning, and they look down the road, and they see a huge army coming. Huge. They sent the messenger back to report. Army's coming. What do you want us to do? Well, they had been gathering intelligence, and they've realized Germany was launching an offensive. And by the time the orders came back, it was too late. The commanding officer, in all of the hubbub of trying to gather up, you know, they had to move. They had to retreat. But the message to retreat never got back to those 12 soldiers, because by then everything had started happening, and they couldn't get the message back. And the man who was sent back with the message, he returned back to the commanding officer, and he was trying to tell him, I never got back there. I couldn't get through. What do I do? And the lieutenant who was out there watching this road, he kept telling his soldiers, kept saying, what do we do? Hey, the orders were to stay here. We haven't gotten new orders yet. By that time, the entire army was there. And they looked to the lieutenant, and they said, what do we do? Fire. We were told to hold this position. That's the last order that we got. And they did. Their action there that day, I think a couple of them died, but most of them lived. They ended up in prison camps, whatever, that prisoner of war camp. And they survived. They survived the war. They did their... And that action there, those 12 men there, standing there at that spot, it messed up that German army. It messed up the whole Battle of the Bulge. It delayed the whole thing. 12 men just doing what they're supposed to do. Amen? You want to talk about sacrifice? Hey, when they signed up, they knew there was a chance they wouldn't come back. How far are you willing to go? Well, the problem with the younger millennial generation, if I can use that term, they see the prosperity of America. They see a church that's already been built. They don't see the blood, sweat, and tears that went into it. And they see that and they say, oh, I want that. But they don't want to make the sacrifice that is required to do it. Amen? I read about missionaries of old, like William Carey, left England with no promise of anything. He gets to the mission field 7 years before he saw one convert. His wife ends up, I think his first wife died. I think he remarried, if I remember the story correctly, and she was not quite all the way there. Problem after problem after problem after problem, but he changed India. He changed an entire nation. One man willing to make sacrifices. And we could give you story after story after story after story of men who voluntarily gave their lives to Christ and they made the sacrifices and God blessed them. And God blessed their work. Amen? And then I know that all across the United States of America today, there are small independent Baptist churches that believe the King James Bible, 10, 15, 20 people, and the preacher keeps showing up week after week, week after week, week after week, week after week. You say, what's it cost them? A lot. A lot. It's stuff the church would never see. But the sacrifices are there. What kind of sacrifices are you willing to make? I want to serve the Lord. All right. You're going to be a soldier? What are you willing to give up? What sacrifices are you willing to make? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. All right, I'm only halfway done, so. The Apostle Paul said, Philippians 3, verse 8, he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I'm thankful they haven't updated that word. He gave up everything for Christ. Amen? All right, a soldier is separated. A soldier is separated. You know, when you go into the military, they separate you from civilian life. They don't want you mixing in with the civilians. They want you cordoned off on the military base because you're now a soldier. You can't mix the civilians and the soldiers. You got to keep them separate. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to understand what separation is. Now, I'm not a super, super hyper, you know, double, triple, quadruple separated, sanctified, you know, whatever. You know, but I do know this. You can't walk with the world and expect to come out clean. The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. It means you got to clean up. You got to clean up. He is completely sold out to the cause. His only purpose for living is to do what his commanding officer tells him to do. In our case, we fight the good fight of faith for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get all wrapped up in sport. Now, if you are into sports, fine. But don't make it a god. I mean, that's a side issue. That's just something you do as a hobby. That's not something that should consume your every waking moment. Amen? I know, I'm not kidding you. I know a guy who has memorized every Super Bowl winner. And he could tell you the dates and the scores and blah, blah, blah. Okay, how much scripture have you memorized? Amen? You can memorize all that useless trivia. What about Scripture? What about that? We're supposed to be separated. What about sports and recreation, hobbies? I know people that it's no big deal for them to spend 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, if you were to add it all up, over $100,000 on their hobby. But they don't support missions. Is there something wrong with that picture? Amen? I had to fight this battle with the devil, brother Kyle and I were talking about this. I hope it seems like I get close to paying off debt, and then something else happens, and then you're right back, and it's like, okay, I can pay it all off. Oh, okay, now I got to start over, right? That's just the way that it is sometimes. But some people, they get out there and they spend all this money and they spend all this money. And what I was trying to say was this, is that sometime back, you know, the devil was saying, well, man, you don't have enough money to give to the Lord. It is pretty tight. Well, okay, I'll take it. You know, for when I was younger, it's like, well, I'll take a few dollars off. But then after a while, I'm like, you know, I keep paying off debt and it keeps circulating back around. You know, it's like it's never going to go away. So, you know what? I'm just going to start giving more. Amen? And we had a special meeting. It's like, I don't really have any money. And the devil starts whispering in my ear. It's like, man, you better not put that much in. Because, oh, yeah? $20 more. Yeah, but you're going to have $20 more. Yeah, but you might have $20 more. The more you keep talking, the more I put in. Amen? The check just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, I never went without. God supplied. Amen? What I'm telling you is this. If you just trust God, He'll take care of you. The soldier's separated. Who cares about the stupid sports? That doesn't make a hill of beans. In eternity, nobody's going to care. 10 years from now, nobody's going to care. The soldier is separated to do their duty. You know what I see Christians doing? We just get all wrapped up in the world. We know what's going on in the politics. Look, I know who I support, and I know why I support whoever. I don't care, because I know the Lord is going to come back. He's going to take care of us no matter what. We survived Carter. We survived Clinton. We survived Obama. I don't know how, but we did. Amen? So what if it goes the way that they want it to go? What bearing does that have to do with the Great Commission of preaching the gospel to reach lost people? It doesn't change our orders. We're supposed to be separated. It's one thing to understand what's going on. It's another thing to get so wrapped up in it that it consumes you. Amen? You need to be separated. You need to be separated. Women ought to look like women. Men ought to look like men. They ought to talk like men. Amen? You men, to stop, you know, put some steel in that arm or something. I don't know, you know. Maybe Kyle could loan you his leg thing that he had a few years back or something. I don't know. There's some guys, they need to grow a spine. If you can't grow one, borrow one or something. I don't know. I just know that in this day and age, we got a lot of males that don't act like men. They act like sissies. Well, that's... We get all wrapped up in all this stuff, and we forget what is our job as Christians. Look, it's really easy. Receive Christ as your Savior. Live a holy life. Read your Bible. Pray. Support missions. Tell others how to get saved. Can't get any more... My Texan here is going to come out. Can't get any more easier than that. Amen. It's simple. We make it hard. We make it hard. It's so hard. I'm sorry. Soldiers are separated to do their job. Amen? We need Christians that'll be separated. You say, what's that mean to me, preacher? What that means for me is you need to turn off your rock music. You need to get rid of your country music. Oh. Ouch. I think I hit something there. Amen? Hey, I struggle with it. I was a teenager once. I was into all the rock music. I was into all that stuff. You know what it got me? Nothing. Nothing. Didn't do a thing for me. I can sing these songs that we sang tonight. Whoo! That's some good music right there. That'll get you going. That's the good stuff. That rock stuff. They're a bunch of idiots. They don't know. They're the most confused people on the planet. They don't know whether they're coming or they're going. Half of them are immoral degenerates. Amen? I'm not kidding you. I like to study. I like to read. I like to find out about things. When I was listening to rock music, I would read the biographies of these people. And I read them and I'm going, these people are really sick. They're sick. But, you know, people listen to that and then they live what they're listening to. They take, and then they, these people, you know, these performers, these entertainers, they get up on stage and they try to lecture you like they know something. These people are morons. They're morons. Hey, listen, the Bible says this. Jesus Christ said it. Matthew chapter 12. Ready? Matthew 12. He says, by thy words I shall be... Every idle word, that's the word I'm thinking of. Every idle word that man shall speak, he'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. And he says, all right, I have to look. I can't think. Right? Matthew chapter... You ought to turn and look at it too. This verse, I tell you what, this will change your life. Here it is. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Now watch. Look at it. Matthew 12:34, you ready? Are you ready? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you understand what that means? That means when those perverts write those sickening lyrics to their filthy songs, it's not just a cute little jingle. They're perverted. And they're trying to spread their perversion on you. And you know what most people do? Oh, isn't that a cute song? I was working one day, and a song came on, and the lady I was working next to, she says, oh yeah, you know, when I was young, that was one of my favorite songs. And then, you know how it goes, cycles through, they don't play it for forever, and then they all of a sudden decide to resurrect the song, right? She said, I heard it one day on a radio, and I was listening to the words, and I was shocked. I didn't realize what they were trying to say. Yes. Those cute little jingles aren't so cute when you stop and think. I know that's a foreign concept to many people. Think about what they're saying. And it's no mistake. They have a filthy heart. Jesus said that, not me. And if you don't like that, you can take it up with the Lord. They're filthy. All these people who write the movies, you watch a movie and you say, why do they got to put all the filthy words in there? Because they have a filthy heart. That's what Jesus said. Well, why do they got to put those seeds in here? Because they're not saved. They're not born again. They're not a child of God. They're going after their father, the devil. They have a filthy heart, so they put the filth in there. What do you expect? And you know what Christians do? The new movie came out. Let's go spend $50. And why don't you put that money in the missions offering? Just saying. Do what you want to do. Amen. I get people at work, hey, did you go to the theater? I don't go to the theater. Why? Why would I? Well, yeah, but it's a great movie. Yeah. Oh, but if there's some movies you just have to see in the theater. No. But you don't understand the experience. Do I have to? It's not going to change your life. If you miss the movie, so what? I tell you, if you miss church, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. We need to be separated. We need to come out. That's what the Apostle Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. I can guarantee you, somebody in here is messing around with that rock and roll music, and it'll destroy you. It will destroy you. You need to be separate. A soldier's life is a life of service. A soldier's life is a life of service. You know why a lot of people don't serve the Lord? Because they're selfish. Amen. They just think about themselves. It's too hard. Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ surrendered his will, and he was a minister. He served. we're supposed to serve. That's what soldiers do. We fight on the behalf of others. We take orders. We do things for others. Amen? Are you a soldier for Christ? Are you serving yourself? Or are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm just asking the question. You can do with it what you want to. Amen? You know what else a soldier has? A soldier has support. A soldier has support. See, what's that mean? That means when, if you study military history, you study warfare, you can only leave a soldier out on the front lines for so long. He's got to come back. So they have a rotation. They send them up, and they bring some back. And they send them up, and they bring some back. Because you need rest. A soldier has to have rest. He has to have a time where he can step away from all of the activity and busyness of fighting and step back and sleep and eat and rest. Now, what's going to happen here for you as a Christian is you're going to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night by God's grace, and if you're really doing things, you're going to come on Wednesday nights too, amen? And I know sometimes you can't do that. Look, I got a guy in our church, he works in the oil fields. So sometimes he has to work over. Well, that's the way it is. That's doing what he's supposed to do. But the skipping just because I don't feel like coming, that's a different story altogether. So you come to church, and you come to church so that you can get refreshed. You say, Brother Steve, you're not refreshing me. You're hitting me really hard. You'll get over it. Amen. So you come back and you get rest. Why? So that you can go back to the front. That's the way they do it. Bring them back, get them some rest, send them back up. Your church. Now, I understand the body of Christ. I understand that. I'm a Bible believer. Amen. But I also understand that over 80% of the references in the New Testament to church are referring to the local church. The local church is important. And that's where you get your support. This whole idea of internet TV and, you know, I can go to church. I'm just going to watch church on TV. Hey, it says in Hebrews 10, forsaking not the assembling. How do you assemble with others in your living room when they're on the TV? That's not assembling. That's not an assembling. Now, the great thing about all this technology is that for the shut-ins and those who can't get out, they now have something that they can watch if they can find the right stuff. Amen? That's the upside. The downside is that most people just use it as an excuse to not do what God said to do. Amen? A soldier has support, and your support is right here, your local church. Amen? You need to be here. You need to support it. You need to put your money into it. You need to put your time into it. You need to support your pastor. You need to pray for your pastor. I mean, how much time do you spend praying? Well, I just think that, I had to go through all of that stuff too, amen? I mean, I've had battles with that too in my flesh. And finally God said, look, boy, shut up! You ain't the pastor. You do what the pastor says. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. See, why did God do that? Because when God calls a man a pastor, he's the one who's pastoring. He's the one, the Bible tells us, he's the one who gives account to God for the church. Not you. So as soon as you're ready to take the responsibility of giving account to God for this church, then maybe God will let you pastor a different church. Amen. But not this one. The church is not here for you to fight. You're stepping away from the fight. This is where you get support. This is where you get encouragement. It says there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, if you want to turn and look at it, it might be helpful for us to look at it, that we assemble ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You come to church so that you can get exhorted. That means that you get encouraged. You get that extra oomph that you need to keep going. Say, I just don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Well, if you only understood, hey, we could all tell you stories about if only you understood. We all have those stories. We've all had our trauma. We've all had our disappointments in life. We've all had our horrible, nightmarish experiences. That's why you come, so that you can be exhorted. You can be encouraged. Somebody can put their arm around your shoulder and say, let me pray with you. If you quit coming, then you're out. Then you're alone. And you're right exactly where the enemy wants you. So even when you don't feel like coming, come anyway. God will give you a blessing. I can't tell you how many times I wake up on a Sunday morning, pastor, preacher, I'm supposed to be there. I wake up, splitting headache, nausea, the room's rotating around me. I just don't feel like it. But I know if I can just get there, everything will be all right. And I'll walk in the doors of that church, stagger in to the doors of the church. I really don't feel like being here. I really should be at home in bed. Open the door, you walk in, it's like, I'm here. Let's have church, amen? Praise the Lord. That's the devil's trying to get you to quit. Are you a soldier? You have to fight the battles. And sometimes the battle is just getting to church. If you can just get here, God will give you a blessing, amen? But you just may have to fight your way through the obstacles to get here. Amen. I'm done. Listen, the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. We'll just read our text one more time, and then we'll pray, and we'll have Brother Kyle come up here. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Will you be a soldier for Christ? Let's have our eyes closed, heads bowed, Brother Kyle.